all said and done, you're going to be taking splinters out of your fat asses all night long because you got fat asses. The only one chance you have no chance. If you had a chance, you'd need to run lickety split. But you can't run because you're the fat asses.
Well, Ric Flair, you know what? I'm not a normal looking athlete myself. You know what I'm talking about? I've been in the gym's line. It's a privilege and an honor to walk out with Ole Anderson, Lex Luger, and the Omni tomorrow night.
I am not a happy camper. What is Bully Ray's motivation? No, I love him. I know he loves sugar. But I check my pocket. I don't have no donuts. I don't have no cheeseburger. I know you love sugar, but I ain't got none.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal. I'm the man.
Booking a match for the total package, Lex Luger and Super Brawl. Super Saturday, what is it? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called?
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday?
You don't lose faith in winners and Ric Flair day in and day out. You every day of his life. Just keep winning and winning and winning.
Ric Flair! New York City, Ric Flair! You're gonna find out what hard is all about!
I do exactly what I want to do. You say I'm insane. I say thank you very much.
Make a good intro.
I hate dogs.
Hit the dog. Yes. We love you, Scott Steiner.
Today, I've got the star and profile like never before.
You guys talk about being students of the game. I am the f***ing game, JR.
All right. What is going on, everybody? Thursday night, it is Wrestling Outlet. I am Boxman. I hope you all have had a great week. It's been kind of a crazy week, a little bit in wrestling and everything else. But yeah, we have plenty of stuff to get into tonight. We've got Sting retiring and the rest of Revolution. I'm not going to get into everything. You guys have all heard about what happened by now. We've got a few other things to get into. We've got some Hall of Fame inductions to talk about. Tammy Sitch is talking about sex life in prison. You know you got to hear that. And we've got former wrestlers going to prison. All kinds of shit. And we will get into it all as this show happens. Tonight, I believe y'all just got me. It is Boxman. I am the man in the box. The box man tonight, and this is it, just me tonight. Smark is out of town. He did let me know he was going, so y'all gonna have to deal with me tonight. Hope you're okay with that, but we are going to talk a good amount of stuff. Like I said, we've got Revolution to get into, we've got Dynamite to get into, and a few other things, obviously, we're gonna get into, but I'll tell y'all, we've been... Me and Smark were on Mixler last week. I'm on Mixler again this week. I'm probably going to be here for the foreseeable future. Internet out here just isn't that good. I thought it would be better. We were told it was better. Guess what? We were lied to by Frontier. We're looking into some other internet options. Like I said, Google Nest, but I believe that still has to go through a provider. We're looking into Starlink, which I think is like Elon Musk's thing or whatever, and a couple other things to try to get some better internet out here. So I would prefer to go back to YouTube, but for now, until that happens, till we get some better internet out here, I'm going to stay here on Mixlr. I like Mixlr. I liked it when we were on it. For some reason, when I downloaded the last update, it just stopped working on my computer. The technicians were on it. They remote accessed my computer. They couldn't fix it. I sent them all kinds of logs. I sent them this. I sent them that. They were on it. I'm not going to lie. Mixlr was fucking on it. And it just didn't work. So I waited, and last week I tried downloading it. It worked. It's working now, and I'm probably going to be staying here. So I believe it's wrestling.outlet.mixlr.com. So definitely go ahead and check that out, everybody. We will be there for a little while. As soon as we can go back to video, we'll let you know. But right now, this is where we're going to be. And on that note, folks, nothing really crazy happened in my world. We did add two more baby goats to our little baby goat collection. We now have four boys, one girl. The two new boys are Wayne Newton and Elvis Presley. So there you go. But yeah, we decided to go ahead and there's nothing you can do. So we're another proud, I guess, grandparents of five goat babies. They are absolutely adorable. They hop, they jump, they skip around. They really don't walk much, but they jump and they hop and they play. They're just awesome. They're little goats. They're, like I said, they're called Nigerian dwarfs. And they are fucking awesome. I love these things. They're so cool. I mean, we walk out the door in the morning and they'll run up to you. And one of them really lets us pet her. She's young and she was used to people petting her. The other two aren't so used to it. Plus, they were pregnant, so they're kind of standoffish. But they really trust us with their babies, and that's pretty cool. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into some Revolution and other wrestling stuff. I'm not going to hold anybody tonight. I know my kids started spring break tonight. I know probably a lot of other people's kids started spring break, and they want to get back to their kids. So I'm not going to hold anybody for too long. Revolution, I thought, was a really good show. There were some really fucking good matches on this card, but they focused on what this pay-per-view was really about from the jump. It was about Sting retiring, and this pay-per-view definitely was about the retirement of Sting. Some great matches on the show. The Bryan Danielson, Eddie Kingston match was great. Christian Cage and Daniel Garcia was actually a really, really good match. Ospreay and Takeshita was great, I thought. The Scramble, the usual AEW clusterfuck. But anyway, I really thought those were great matches. And of course, the Swerve, Strickland, Page, and Joe match was a great match. But the show was more about one thing, and it was about Sting retiring. I really felt like they did a good job here on this. I really felt like this was a great way to send Sting off. Me and Smart had talked about more than likely this was the way it was going to go, with Sting leaving undefeated. And he did. He left undefeated in a great match. Not really sure Darby needed to do the dive he did, but he did it through the glass. Didn't get cut up as bad as I kind of thought he would, but obviously it was a great looking spot. It really did look good. They even kind of mentioned it last night, which I will get into last night also. But I really just wanted to talk about the Sting send off on Revolution more than anything. And like I said, I think this was a great way to send Sting off. A lot of people are like, well, now he needs to go back to WWE and have a right send off. It's like, well, does he though? I don't think WWE wants to do that. I think Sting has had his day. I think Sting left on great terms here. I don't think that's the last we're going to see of Sting on Dynamite. I think that's the last we're going to see of Sting competing in the ring. But listen, I thought he had a great last run here, man. He did some crazy stuff that we never expected not only a guy of his age to do, but Sting himself to do. I really thought he had a good run in AEW, undefeated. And he went out, you know, like I said, you really can go back and forth on this. You know, yeah, I know, oh, you go out looking at the lights. That's the saying. Do you have to? Really? And, you know, I'm reading, you know, Sting wanted to lose and then this and that. And, well, he caved in and decided to go with Tony Khan and the Bucks and everybody else. I don't care. I really don't care how it happened. I think it was a great way for Sting to be sent off. I just wish the guy luck in whatever he's going to do. If he decides to do nothing, that's great. Retire. Relax. My God, can't wait till I can fucking do that one day. Just relax and retire. Long ways away, but I can't wait until that day. Folks, I just realized something. I forgot a drink. I'm going to go grab my water real fast. No, amateur show. Sting was never a WWE guy. You're 100% right. Which is another reason there's no reason for him to go back to WWE to have a send-off match. I believe you're agreeing with me. There's just no reason. There's no reason. What is WWE send-off match going to look like for Sting? What, you want to have that Sting-Undertaker match? Is that what you want to do? You want to have that match? I don't think anybody wants to see that match. Taker's retired. Sting's now retired. What's the point? 10 years ago? Maybe. 15 years ago? Abso-fucking-lutely. 2024? What's no? We don't need that. All right, you know what I'm going to do? Instead of going to get my drink, I'm going to text my wife and see if she will bring me my water. Let's see. Could you please, always please, my wife, bring me my water? Okay, we'll see if she brings me my water. She doesn't usually look at her phone because she's looking at videos. So she's looking at her phone. But she's not looking at what I'm sending her. But I think this was a great send-off for Sting. I wish him well in whatever he decides. Like I said, if he decides to do nothing, that's great for him. But I really thought the match was well done. I thought Sting getting the pin, doing everything. I really felt it was a great way to go. His son's coming down. One is Surfer Sting. Thank you, baby. Mm-hmm. One is Surfer Sting, one is Crow Sting, or I'm sorry, Wolfpack Sting. Just I thought was pretty cool. And his sons, not little guys. She brought the water. His sons are not little guys. So, you know, they didn't go out there and embarrass him. They went out there and I thought they did really well. I thought the whole thing went really well. I don't think Sting could have asked for a better send-off with his family out there and being able to win the match. So, in my opinion, great send-off, great match, good pay-per-view. Good pay-per-view. Like I said, I thought it was a really smart idea to just focus it on Sting. I know I picked Swerve to win the title, but, you know, Bully Ray, who I don't agree with very much at all, said, you know, he would have got lost in the sauce. It was Sting's night. Damn it, Bully Ray, I agree. And I didn't think about that when I was choosing my predictions last week with Smark. So not much I can do on that now. No big deal at all. Joe won. I still believe Swerve will have his time. And I think that time is coming soon. So we'll see. I don't think big business. I think they're actually going to wait till a, pardon the pun, bigger actual pay-per-view, not just a special Dynamite to do that. I think that's a pay-per-view moment, not a special Dynamite moment if Swerve wins that title. That's, again, just my opinion. But I for once, goddammit, I agree with Bully Ray. I hate to do that. I know it's kind of, I think it's frowned, is it frowned upon? Is that what it is? Is it frowned upon to disagree with Bully Ray? I don't think it is. But this, or to agree with Bully Ray, I think sometimes it might be. But this one, I definitely agree. This night should have been only, should have been and was about Sting, and they kept it about Sting. It really, yeah, they could have pushed to keep it about Swerve after he won the title, but then it would have seemed a little, it might have seemed more manufactured. I think that's the right word to use there. It might have seemed like they were trying to manufacture something, but like I said, I definitely believe Swerve has his time coming, folks. So I say just relax, and it's going to come. It's definitely coming. So that's really all I wanted to get into on Revolution. I really didn't have much more to get into on there. The Blackpool Combat Club against FTR was a really good match. I enjoyed that. Like I said, it was good seeing Will Ospreay out there. Now a full-time member of AEW. They're getting some good guys. I don't know if it's going to move the needle. Again, I think AEW has hit its this is who watches and you are where you are plateau. But I guess we can see. I guess we'll wait a little bit and see what happens. But really, like I said, folks, that was Sunday. I don't really need to get into it. It's already Thursday night. I don't need to probably talk about something that y'all have heard about 100 times already. But I did want to talk about Sting's send-off. And like I said, man, Sting is like a little staple of my childhood. I said last week I got in trouble for running away at a wrestling match because Sting got out of the ring and I wanted to just pat him on the back. Surfer Sting, that was. And I did. And I got in trouble from my father. It was worth it. It was worth it, folks. So Sting is kind of a childhood memory for me, especially that little moment. Obviously, if I remember it from way back, I was probably 10 or 11 years old, folks. So always, it was definitely fun stuff for me. And look, it's sad seeing Sting go, but you know what? We've had him out there a very long time. We've seen the best of Sting. Sting has had to deal with some shit in this business. I'm sure that his beliefs don't live up to, even if they came a little later, maybe in the 90s. Even had to take on a drunken Jeff Hardy he had to take on at, you know, in at Victory Road, 07, I believe. Sting's had to do some shit in his career and has bounced back from it. So definitely a good career. And I'm glad to see him go like this. I was glad he had his sons out there. I was glad he won. I was glad everything that went with the way it was. And I thought it was really, really a good thing to do. So what's going on, SBC, Sacha Baron Corbin? How you doing, my man? And again, amateur show. Oh, 2011. Thank you. Too many years, man. Too many years. It's too many years. Have Swerve beat Joe at All In where it has the most eyeballs. 100% agree. Like I said, it's a bigger moment than just a special Dynamite. I totally agree, the amateur show. 100% agree with you, my man. So, all right, let's go ahead and move on from Revolution, folks. Now, going through news and I read this article. Pro wrestling star hits fans with one final swerve after death. And I'm like, who the what? Huh? Well, the website that I was putting it out was Penn Live. I guess it's a Pennsylvania website. Patriot News, Penn Live, Patriot News. And it is with two N's, which is why I believe it's a Pennsylvania thing. And it's about Virgil. And it says, apparently, folks, Virgil, obviously a real name, Mike Jones, we talked about last week, had one final swerve up his sleeve. Because according to a report by Liturgy, I'm going to go with Liturgy, and OSW Review, and confirmed by Fightful.com's Sean Ross Sapp. Now, we said he was 61, folks, when he passed last week. That's what we had all thought. Turns out he was actually 72. He was not born in 1962, June 13th, 1962. Actually was born April 7th, 1951. He was 72 years old, according to this article. Now, folks, don't quote me. Don't do it to me. But according to this article, this man was 72 years old, not 61 when he passed. So I don't know. Maybe Virgil just wanted to seem younger than he was. But according to this, he swerved us again, folks. And that's a good one. That's a good one. Shaving 11 years off of your age and no one knowing it until you passed away. That's pretty good. You know, everyone said, you know, he had a couple strokes. Oh, he looks a little rough. Well, I guess he didn't look a little rough. He looked a little older than he was for a reason, folks. So, there you go. Anyway, we talked about Virgil last week. I just thought that was a pretty cool story, actually. For a minute, I thought, when I first saw it, I'm like, who the fuck is this? I thought maybe Ole did something and fucked with us. But no, it was actually Virgil. Beyond the grave, swerving the IWC. That's fucking kayfabe for you, folks. I appreciate this, Virgil. I appreciate this. That's good stuff, man. We got two Hall of Fame inductees to talk about here, folks. We have two, I think, really deserving is a word. Not sure if it's the right word. Deserving. Almost one of them almost expected to be in the Hall of Fame, being it is in Philly this year. Paul Heyman, folks, is being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2024. Now, I know y'all think this may be just a wrestling thing, an IWC thing, that this means something, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. I was looking up news today, like I said earlier, and one of the things, or two articles I saw, were from Jewish media websites saying, I don't follow many, I do follow a couple, I am Jewish, and I do follow a couple of the Jewish media websites. Two of them, though, dealt with wrestling, so they popped up. And they both had to do with Paul Heyman, Jewish manager Paul Heyman, inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. This is a big deal to a lot of people, folks. This is a more than just the IWC. I thought it was pretty cool to see those articles. I really did. Those are that's just not the demographic you see thinking about something like this, but Paul Heyman is being inducted into the Hall of Fame this year in Philly. I think it's fitting. I think it's great. I don't think there is any person that could bitch about this. Who's going to induct him is the question. Some people saying Punk should do it. Maybe. He's a Paul Heyman guy. That could be. Some people saying RVD could come back and do it. Possible. Definitely possible. I see something like that happening. But I'll tell you, you never know. Listen, they could have Stone Cold do it. That man pulled Stone Cold out when he was fucking down on his luck and did the same thing. Steve Austin could induct him. I wouldn't be surprised if something like that were to go down. But we've talked so many times on this show, me and Smart both, about how great Paul Heyman is. Promo-wise, listen, folks, let's just take the ECW businessman, let's face it, the fast-talking New Yorker out of Paul Heyman. It's over, folks. It's been years. If some people are still mad at him that worked for him, I understand. A lot of people have just let bygones be bygones and let it go. But take all that away. You got Paul Heyman, who even back then knew how to get on the microphone and talk, knew how to get people in the arena, knew how to get people to watch his shows. Really knew how to grab the demographic he was going for. Because that's what Paul Heyman did. He grabbed it. He grasped it. He took hold of that demographic, that younger demographic. And that's who watched ECW, folks, late at night and was willing to see all that shit. I'll be honest. I wasn't a big ECW fan back in those days. I really wasn't. I barely knew it was on TV because it was on so late. I was usually still drinking, partying with my friends at that time. So I barely knew it was on. But I'll tell you, whenever I hear Paul Heyman, I listen. And I think a lot of people stop what they're doing to listen to what Paul Heyman has to say when he has to say it. Paul Heyman can talk people into seats. Paul Heyman has a great formula down when it comes to just going out there and cutting the promo, selling the pay-per-view, selling this, selling that, selling your guy. Not only does Paul Heyman go out there and sell the pay-per-view, not only does he go out there and tell you why his guy is going to win, he praises, even if it's backhanded, he praises the opponent. He never makes the opponent look like they are weak, like they have no chance, even though he knows they don't. Usually against a Brock Lesnar, even a Roman Reigns right now. He always praises them enough to where you think they've got a shot and they might do it. Paul Heyman is just a fucking wordsmith when it comes down to it. The guy's fucking awesome. He definitely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He's been around a long time. He's just done so much in the business. Good or bad, let's be honest here. But let's be honest, folks. Since ECW closed down, has anyone heard any shitty things about Paul Heyman after the whole thing where he was hemorrhaging money and wasn't able to pay people? Listen, folks, anyone who's owned a company and lost it has had that problem. Okay? It's happened. Folks, my family had a company. We lost it. We couldn't pay people. It happens. Company went bankrupt. It happens. It was a long time ago. Right after 9/11, actually, when it happened. But quick sip of my water here, folks. But Paul Heyman is one of the most deserving people I can think of to be in the WWE Hall of Fame in Philly. It fits like a glove. It really does. It fits like a glove, folks. So anyway. The second to be inducted, the second announced to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame is Bull Nakano. She has won championships in three different countries, folks. I got to admit, I don't know a ton about Bull Nakano, but it's a name that I've heard since... Man, I can't even think about it. I don't even know when that was. Since the early to mid-90s, I would say, is when I started hearing about her. So, you know, I wasn't watching wrestling at that time. I was kind of in high school doing stuff. You know what stuff I was doing, folks. We don't need to talk about this. But, I was in high school, wasn't really watching a lot of wrestling at that time. But, before I get too far, Amateur Show brings up something. I'm sorry, Amateur Show. I had the chat on the other side of my screen. He wonders if Paul Heyman is retiring after Mania. I don't think so. I think Heyman likes what he's doing. And I think Heyman will be around a little bit longer, to be honest. I really think Heyman will be around a little bit longer. I know Amateur Show left the chat, but I wanted to answer that because that was a good question, and I didn't see it till just now. Sorry. I think he's going to be around a little longer. I think he enjoys what he's doing. I think he's less stressed. I know he's had a lot of input on this storyline with the bloodline. So I think that he is going to stay around a little bit, keep doing what he's doing. Listen, Paul Heyman's another guy who has only worked for the Vince McMahon era of WWE. So he might like this new regime right now. So I guess we'll see. But I do think he's going to stay around. But anyway, Bull Nakano is being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And I think it's going to, that's another great one right there. Like I said, I don't know a ton about her, but I know I've heard this name since the mid to probably later 90s. Like I said, since I wasn't watching much in the early 90s. But you know, seen a lot of what she has done, and I definitely think she is 100%, you know, deserving of the Hall of Fame also. Now, since we're done with the Hall of Fame inductions, folks, let's have some fun. What do you think there, everybody? Y'all want to have some fun? Let's have some fun. So, we all know where Sonny Tammy Sitch is, folks. She's in jail. She's in jail. And we know this for 17 years. We all know this. But the Toronto Sun, I don't know why I'm wearing my headphones. The Toronto Sun decided to do an article on Tammy Sitch and her life in prison, even her sex life in prison. She was first asked if the fellow prisoners knew about her fame and history as a wrestler. And she said that before she was moved to county lockup to Lowell Correctional Institution, there were a few odd asks, some for very personal items. One girl asked for my prison ID, for me to sign it so she could take it home and sell it on eBay. I said no. And then another, believe it or not, had the balls to ask me for my underwear, to sign my underwear, she said, so she can bring it home and sell it on eBay. I was like, absolutely not. All right, so somehow conversation turned to Sonny's sex life in prison. And I'm going to give you her answer. Actually, I'll give you the question just so you have a little bit of a thing. It said, then the conversation turned to Sitch's sex life behind bars or lack thereof. Tammy says, I love men, but when you're here, you really don't have an option, she said. If you want any kind of affection or connection with anyone, it's a girl thing. You have no choice. But there's really nobody that would be up to par for me. So I might have to wait a little while until somebody of quality comes in. She was then asked what it was like to kind of go without having sex for a while. She said, it's already been 22 months without it, and let me tell you, it's rough. It's like you've become a virgin again. It's insane, she added. Yes, Madonna was playing in the background. I'm kidding. I hope I'm kidding. So there you go, folks. So Sonny is totally down for the girl thing and is needing some. So listen, any women that want to get sent to Lowell County Correctional Institution, you go ahead. You can get you some of Sonny if you want it. She's there. But you got to be hot enough. You got to be hot enough, folks. So we'll see what happens. But, folks, this is definitely a story we're going to keep up with. Absolutely. We're going to keep up with this, and we're going to keep up with the Toronto Sun to see if they do another story on Tammy. Why? All the way from, anyway. So, folks, here's another funny one. Tanahashi, we have been talking about Hiroshi Tanahashi a little bit, just became president of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And he thinks he knows exactly what is going to get wrestling more popular and get more eyes on the business. And I quote, if a really good-looking wrestler comes in, someone who is super athletic, smart, and seems to be good at attracting girls, then the industry's popularity might rise to another level, Tanahashi said. New Japan also followed this trend and became popular due to its image of having a large number of female fans. Even with that in mind, I would like to continue to take various measures such as strengthening the visual aspect, creating apparel goods with cool designs and easy-to-wear color schemes, and creating an environment where New Japan can produce superstars at any time. If a second or third Tanahashi emerges, this industry will continue to boom. Okay. The first part seems a little... I guess when he clarified a little bit, it was a little bit better to understand. Athletic, smart, seems good at attracting girls. Maybe that could help. I don't know if it's going to bring wrestling to another level exactly. I guess it could help your product in a way because that's good for you. I don't see it bringing wrestling to another level. I just don't think there's enough female fans anymore that think wrestling is cool enough to bring it to that second level. So I think Tanahashi is a little off on this one. I definitely, though, agree with the second part, the visual aspect, creating apparel that is easy to wear, good color schemes, nice like that. Definitely creating an environment where New Japan can produce superstars at any time. It's kind of what they've been doing the whole time they've been around. They create them. Someone snags them up. Usually WWE, but sometimes now AEW is getting a few of these guys. I think those are all good reasons, but the good-looking part, not quite sure. Not quite sure where it was going with that. I mean, listen, not a bad-looking guy. Not a bad-looking guy. But I don't know. I'm not quite sure why that was said, but this was right off of Yahoo.com's entertainment site, folks. So, and you probably hear my kids out there. If you do, I'm sorry. Like I said, they started spring break tonight, so they're not going to bed early. I think my 15-year-old just hit my 11-year-old, and I think he just cursed at him. But anyway, let's just keep going because I'm not stopping for that. Now, folks, if you thought that was crazy, you want to hear what craziness is. I'm scrolling through the news today again, and what do I see? Logan Paul's brother, Jake Paul, is taking on Mike Tyson in another fucking score for Netflix, who is going to, on July 20th, they will be live streaming exclusively. Live streaming this event on Netflix. Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. This is all happening right here, Arlington, Texas. A couple hours away from me now. Used to be 45 minutes, now it's a couple hours. The most probably repeated comment I saw today. You know what? You're right, SBC. I forgot to mention that. RIP Paul Vachon. I did see that, and I actually completely forgot about that. That was supposed to be on my list, but thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate that, sir. So Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, the most probably repeated comment I heard today was, oh, he wants to fight a 60-year-old man. Has anyone seen Tyson train? Like two years ago, they put out a video of this 58-year-old man. And I'd be fucking scared to fight him. I'm younger. I'd be scared to fight him. I would not want to fight Tyson. I think Jake Paul's about to get his first mother fucked up. He's about to get fucked up. Tyson's no joke, man. And unless this fight is some fixed fight or he comes in on drugs like he did in that one fight, I don't know, man. I don't think he's got the hands. I don't think he's got the fucking skill. He's taking on, I mean, this is like when, this is like McGregor Mayweather. Way out of his league, man. So, way out of his league, as far as I'm concerned. But, man, another huge score for Netflix. Guys, I'm telling y'all right now, Netflix might be the fucking, they may monopolize. This might be the only place to watch TV in the next 10 years. I'm serious. I mean, this might be the only place that survives this. If there's a war on who's going to be, right now it looks like Netflix could fucking buy the market if they wanted to. They are doing some amazing things. This fight is going to bring them megabucks. Megabucks come July. So I'm a little surprised they didn't do this July 4th. Kind of do a little Independence Day thing. I'm a little surprised. But I mean, they just reached a 10-year deal with WWE. They, I believe, have a little deal with the with some other companies, and now they're announcing that they're going to be live streaming this mega boxing event. Fucking go Netflix. Folks, I'm going to take a quick break because my daughter is screaming and I don't think my wife is in the house. Give me just a minute. I know everyone else listening besides SBC is not going to know. SBC, I'll put on some music for you real quick. Give me a second and I'll be right back, man. Give me like a minute and a half, two at the most. I apologize. So sorry about that, everybody. Yeah, there was some stuff going on in the house. We're good. We're good. We're all good now. SBC, thanks for hanging around, my man. Yeah. Anyway, where was I here? So awesome for Netflix at what they're doing here with all this whole thing going on. They are really, really, like I said, they're becoming like the leader in, I mean, they have thousands of people dropping cable all the time. And they're doing this in an 80,000 seat arena. It's not like they're doing this at some little fucking venue. This is going to be huge. This is going to be huge. So Netflix, once again, huge score, man. Huge fucking score. So folks, I got to be honest. I don't remember this guy, but it's something everyone's going to be talking about. So let's talk about this. A congressional candidate, Daniel Rodimer. He is a Republican candidate in, I believe, Delaware. Nope, I am sorry. No, it might be. I'll get to all that in a minute. But he has turned himself in. I guess when he was in, he was never in, well, I guess he was in, he was in WWF for a while. Let me explain why I'm even talking about this at all. And it is Las Vegas, Nevada that he is, he runs in. It wasn't, I was completely wrong with which happens. He did in 2006 and 2007, he actually did, compete. He was a contestant on the 2004 Tough Enough competition. He did get signed to a developmental contract. He was down in Deep South. And then he was on a couple of shows. He made his debut on Heat. He beat Eugene. And again, he only worked for the company from 2000, 2006 to 2007. 2004, if you want to count Tough Enough. So 2004, 2007, if you want to count that. So he really wasn't around. He did a little bit of FCW stuff. And then August 22nd, 2007 is when he was released. We go all the way 11 years later. In 2018, he started running for Senate. Okay? Now, this is where it starts getting a little hairy, folks. Today, there was a warrant out for his arrest. And today he did turn himself in, was released on $200,000 bail. And he did post bond and is out. But the charge is open murder, which I got to admit, I've kind of never heard that before. So basically, here's what it does. It includes each of the, basically, it's an open charge, okay? You don't know if it's first degree, second degree murder, or manslaughter, or involuntary, or whatever it is. So what you do is you go with an open murder. Now, Nevada is one of the few states, cities and states you can do this in. In Nevada, you can do this. So basically what they're saying is we don't know if it's going to be a first degree. We don't know if it's going to be second. We don't know if it's going to be manslaughter. What we need to do is go over what happened, investigate, and then we can figure out what the charge is going to be. Basically, you're being held. Why does this seem a little unconstitutional? You're being held without being formally charged, almost, which is probably why he got the $200,000 bail. But this is something that can only be in Nevada at this point. I don't know if there's more states that can do it, but I guess we'll see what goes on. And of course, this is hitting the news because he was Trump endorsed. So that's what's happening. But let's get into a little bit of what happened here, what they're saying happened. So I'm actually going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play the news article. I'm going to put my little headphones on here. I'm going to play the news article and let the article explain to you exactly what's going on here, folks. What do you think? Let's do this. Might be an ad. Let me see.
Watch News 3's Ask the Experts and get
all right
answers to your health questions.
So email your. Give me a second here. We're going to go ahead and get this playing. In just a few seconds, here we go. All right. Right. Here we go.
Wrestler who ran for Congress here in Southern Nevada is now accused of killing a man in a hotel on the Las Vegas Strip. Good evening, everyone. I'm Jim Snyder.
And I'm Dana Wagner in for LaToya tonight. News 3, the first report, an arrest warrant was issued for 45-year-old Daniel Rotimer today. Our Kristen Drummond broke the news, joins us live in the studio with the latest. Kristen?
Well, Jim and Dana, Rotimer is not in custody right now, but if arrested, he'll be charged with open murder and held without bail, according to court records online. Now, Metro Police accuse Rotimer of killing 47-year-old Christopher Tapp inside a room at Resorts World Las Vegas in October. It was first suspected Tapp fell while alone and hit his head on a coffee table, but follow-up investigations revealed Tapp was in a fight before he was found and taken to the hospital, where he died from his injuries days later. Now, the Clark County Coroner's Office first ruling Tapp's death a suspected overdose and fall. An autopsy report noted head trauma and recent cocaine use. But in January, the office changed the manner of death to homicide following an investigation by Metro Police. The cause was listed as blunt head trauma, and a scan showed Tapp had multiple brain bleeds. A copy of the criminal complaint accuses Rotimer of hitting Tapp in the head intentionally. Tapp made
Sorry, folks. It locked up there for a second. And I don't know why. Did I lose internet? Let me see. What happened? Oh, well, you guys can still.
Headline because of his legal ordeal. He was wrongfully convicted of a 1996 rape and murder in Idaho. He served about 20 years in prison before his release, and DNA evidence exonerated him, as NBC News reported in a Dateline investigation nearly 2 weeks ago. Now, Rodemeyer is a former professional wrestler and Republican congressional candidate in Nevada. He lost against Democratic Representative Susie Lee in 2020. He then left the state and then also lost a bid for a Texas congressional seat the next year. News 3 has requested the arrest warrant for this case because the big questions tonight remain: what caused the fight and how are the two men connected? I also reached out to an email listed on Rodemeyer's X, but no response at this time. But again, we are continuing to dig deeper into this case. Reporting live in studio, I'm Kristen Drummond, News 3.
So there you go. It's probably much better hearing her voice tell you that than me. So basically, it's saying he was in a fight with a guest at a hotel and ended up possibly, allegedly, killing the man. I just thought it was weird that they're focusing on the pro wrestling thing. And again, I'm wondering if they're trying to do that because Trump had a part in pro wrestling and Trump endorsed this guy. I think they are. Now, let me just say one thing, folks. This whole Trump thing, I know what y'all are thinking. But let me say something. I'm not doing this again, folks. I don't care. I now own my house. I've got my little farm. I don't care. I don't care who's president anymore. I don't give a fuck. I still got to wake up. I got to do my work. I got to get my shit done. I got to take care of my family, no matter what. So I'm not doing this again. I don't give a I don't want to see riots for four more years. I don't want to see news media focusing on every little word that a person says. I don't want to do this again. And I'm not. So don't expect too many things to be politics on this show. I'm not doing it again. I don't want to do it. I just don't give a fuck anymore. I just don't. We all got it. Everyone has their own shit to take care of. And you know what? All I care about is taking care of my family and hoping you take care of your family in the best way you can. Plain and simple. That's it. So I wanted to get that out of the way. I definitely wanted to get that out of the way. So anyway, we're just going to have to see what happens with this case, and we'll keep you updated. So last thing I got for news, and then we'll get into a little bit of AEW Dynamite. To be honest, It was all right. Wasn't a horrible show. It really wasn't horrible. It wasn't great. But it looks like Mike Santana, folks, is gone from AEW. Fightful and Fightful Select both have said that is true. They have confirmed it. Mike Santana was gone from the roster page and is gone from AEW at this moment. He wasn't doing that much after him and Ortiz kind of separated. It almost seems like they were trying to force them back together at one point. And I don't think Santana wanted that. I think he wanted to go on his own. I think Santana's going to be just fine. These guys made it on the indies once. I think singles, one of them can make it on the indies again. I think it's going to be all right. So, but I wouldn't say it's a huge loss for AEW since he hasn't done much for them. But when that team got signed, they were fucking badass, man. They were fucking awesome. And they just dropped the ball on Santana and Ortiz. They just dropped the fucking ball. These guys came in hot. They threw them in this stupid fucking Inner Circle faction. And then the shit hit the fan and they all just kind of cooled off. only one that's that made it through there, through that little fucking net, was Jericho, which is not surprising. But I don't know. It's not a huge loss, but I do like Santana. I always thought he was entertaining. I always thought he was good out there. So definitely a guy that I think will be okay outside there, though. And now I guess, let's go ahead and talk a little bit of that. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit of that AEW Dynamite, and then we can roll on out of here. Again, I'm not going to focus too much on Dynamite tonight, or for tonight. Dynamite I thought was good. Actually, I thought the opening segment was good. We had Swerve out there coming out, talking about Revolution. And he heard the crowd chanting for him, and he just couldn't get it done. But Joe interrupted. We saw Adam Cole come out, and blah, 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 blah. I'm just so sick of Cole. I don't need to see him out there. I just don't. And, you know, you got Taven and Bennett, who to me are like fucking dead weight in a team, as a team. I don't give a fuck if they're ROH champions. That means nothing to me. I really just don't feel like those guys are that good. I just don't. I just don't think that they're worth it. So, but a match does get put on right then and there. Samoa and Joe and Swerve Strickland versus Matt Taven and Mike Bennett. They do win the match. It was all right. Now, Young Bucks are, I don't even know what to call them anymore. Matthew and Nicholas. I think this was a little shot at Tony Khan without being a complete shot at Tony Khan, where they had two huge announcements to make later tonight or last night. But we did see this little segment with Jericho and Hook backstage. Jericho talking about, hey, look, you know, one of my debut matches in ECW, your father dropped me on my head. I didn't think you were anything until you dropped me on my head Sunday night, blah, blah, blah. I thought it was a good little thing. I do want to go ahead and say right now, Renee Young, good Lord, woman, you probably put people in the hospital the other night. You looked amazing. My God, that woman looked amazing last night. Whew. Could have fucking broken hearts all over the place, folks. But anyway, let's go back to the match here. We had Hook come out after that for his match with Brian Cage, which he did retain the FTW title. The Gates of Agony then come down and start attacking Hook, and Jericho came out for the save. So Jericho looks like he's going to try to help out Hook. I know a lot of people are going to immediately go, well, the only one that's going to come out looking good here is Jericho. Let's just wait, folks. Let's just wait. So after that, we had Christian Cage come out with the family, the patriarchy, I guess they're calling themselves. And they're talking, and Adam Copeland makes his return after a few weeks off, goes after Christian Cage. They are running around the arena. The cameraman was actually running ahead of Edge. They might not want to do that again. You just made Edge look like an old man that can't keep up with the cameraman. I'm not sure that's the best way to pull that one off. Maybe I'm nitpicking. We'll see. but I thought it was pretty cool, them going through the arena. Christian jumps into an SUV. He carjacks someone. So Christian should be going to jail, but wrestling rules are different. I guess if you're live on a wrestling show, you can do things illegal that you're not supposed to do. I guess that's how it works. But Adam Copeland does challenge Christian to an I Quit match for the TNT title in Toronto, Canada, folks. Oh, yeah. There you go. Kyle O'Reilly, folks, did make his return back on Revolution. I didn't mention that. I forgot to. I'm sorry. I appreciate it. Whatever. Pretty sure I just forgot. He did make his return. He is not with the Undisputed Kingdom for now. I think he will eventually be. I have been saying he is making his way back sooner rather than later. This was a little bit later than I thought. I actually thought he'd come back a couple weeks ago, but this is a just as good for me. So right now he's not joining. We'll see what happens. I didn't really say much here. And then Matthew and Nicholas come out and they make their announcements. The first one is that they've suspended Hangman Adam Page and they have fired Kenny Omega from the Elite, not from AEW. So don't get upset yet, everybody. Calm down. But Kenny Omega for not living up to his commitments. But Eddie Kingston comes down and no one is scared. No one is scared. Eddie Kingston came down. But anyway, he comes down and he's, oh, what the fuck? And then he's taken out by the newest member of the Elite and All Elite Wrestling, Okada. Looked great coming down. Got the suit on. Just looked like a fucking, like fucking Yakuza. But just looked great. He looked great. So after that, we get Chuck Taylor. Says he's not clear to compete. Asks Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta to enter the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament for the best friends. And of course they do. This Riho-Chris Statlander thing match was okay. Riho winning, Statlander talking to, I'm sorry, folks, Stokely Hathaway. Jesus Christ. And I see a heel turn coming in Chris Statlander's future, very near future, with Stokely at her side. We'll definitely get more on that as the weeks go. Now, okay, so we get Darby Allin coming out after this. This I definitely want to get into. We got Darby Allin coming out. All right, he comes out. He does this whole thing, blah, blah, blah. I can't replace Sting, blah, blah, blah. I mean, blah, 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 blah. Now, folks, on March 27th, this guy is going to climb Mount Everest. And he even says here that next week, Big Business against Jay White could be his last match. I don't see why Tony would let him do this. The guy's an adult. He can do what he wants to do. But motherfucker, you're under contract right now. I'm sorry. You're going to have to wait until your contract expires to go be an idiot and die on my fucking time and my fucking watch. Call me crazy. But that's what I would fucking tell this guy. You cannot do this if you're under contract for my company. You can leave. You can quit. You won't get another penny from me. But please don't go do this because you may die, which many people have. Many people have died climbing Mount Everest, everybody. So come on, y'all. This is not the greatest thing for him to do. I hope if he makes it, I hope he lives. If he fails, I hope he lives too. This is a little surreal to think about. This man, we may see his last match next week, guys. His last match. Because he wanted to go climb a fucking mountain. Mm-mm-mm. Look, I understand freedom of doing what you want to do outside of work, but you know what? You're under contract. Everybody lost their shit when Jeff Hardy busted his femur riding a fucking dirt bike on his own property doing a stupid jump. He's under contract for TNA. Good God, what are they doing? Come on, man. Is this... I wouldn't let this guy do this. If I owned a company, absolutely fucking not. I wouldn't let him do it. I would tell him, absolutely, you're not doing this. When you're out of your contract, have at it, kid. Otherwise, I need you. I need you. So, I don't know. He cut a very emotional promo. Jay White came out. He's got Sting's bat, of course. Darby does. Does vacate the titles, which we figured he would do. Anyone else smell a tournament? Anyone else? Bueller, do you smell a tournament? I do too. I smell a tournament coming on, everybody. Prepare, y'all. We got a tournament coming on. Then we get Mark Briscoe. And he's talking about the House of Black, says he'll take on all of them, doesn't care. Jay Lethal then comes up and offers his assistance. Mark Briscoe's like, wait, I don't want Jeff Jarrett out there. And Jay Lethal's like, why wouldn't we want one of the dirtiest son of a bitches with us out there? And Mark Briscoe's just like, yep, let's do it. I got a bad feeling about this one, folks. So, we do have some matches, though, announced for Big Business. I'll go ahead and rattle them off right now for everybody. We've got Willow Nightingale versus Riho. We've got Darby Allin versus Jay White. And right now, Samoa Joe versus Wardlow for the AEW World title. I will be absolutely baffled if Wardlow wins that title. I really will. But the Elite, along with Okada, will also be debuting on Revolution this week. So there you go. Now, we had a... I got to admit, when I first saw this main event, I was a little... Huh? Already? Will Ospreay's getting a main event? And against Kyle Fletcher? Huh? But you know what? Great match. Great ending match. With Will Ospreay taking the win after the match, Ospreay's celebrating, and Bryan Danielson comes on down, which obviously is the next feud. Those matches will be good. The talking will be good, as long as there's not too many bruvs. And I think we're going to be pretty good with that match, folks. But that's really all I have for y'all this week. So, thought that was a nice, even show. Smark will be back with me next week. Like I said, he was out of town this week. I did keep Skype open. I told him I would in case he decided to show up. He said he might be back in time, but he doubts it. So, I hope Smark had an excellent time and had a good time with his family. And I'll be back here next week, guys. And then one more time, we are going to be back here. We are going to stay on Mixlr. A little bit longer. So, deal with it. I don't mean that in a bad way, obviously. But yeah, we are going to be here. And once again, let me double check that. Mixlr.WrestlingOutlet.com. That's where you need to be. And we will be here next week. That is 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, folks. Thank you, everyone who joined the chat. Thank you, everyone who's going to listen. It is greatly appreciated. And like I said, that is all I've got for everybody. Smark will be back next week. Hope everybody has a great weekend and a great week. And if you kids got spring break, enjoy yourselves with your kids. All right, everybody. On that note, see ya.
One song, too many. Guys at the bar, they start to look silly. We're going home. Time to take your drunken ass home. It's all right. If you don't know what to do with yourself, take your drunken ass home. Bombay's the time.